Welcome back to the Tip TV Finance Show, sponsored by Trade Signaler. I'm joined here by my co-host and somebody I expect to take the lead on this particular segment, Mike Ingram, strategist at BGC Partners.
Thank you, Zach. No pressure at all.
No pressure at all. You're old enough, you're wise enough, you've got all the capabilities.
Certainly old enough.
You're like the $6 million man. And we have Francis Hunt, who is probably worth a bob or two as well, the market sniper. How are the markets treating you at the moment?
Very interesting. Well, not trading too great at the moment. Been caught out with a silver. I think it wanted to go up, but it looks now like it's going to go down. So haven't really got it that right. But
well, sorry, what's the reason for that? Is that people actually believe the Fed's going to raise rates, or is it a local thing?
I'm sniffing a little bit of, well, there were some hawkish comments made Fed-wise, you know, some saying there's going to be two rate rises in September and all of us. So they're trying to reheat the same bluff and bluster game again. And for whatever reason, the market tends to
believe it.
And that still always amazes me until the crunch point comes and then they veer away again. So we've seen, it's kind of reminds me a little bit of the Charlie Brown skit where the Lucy holds the ball. And no, really, this time, Charlie Brown, you can kick the ball, I'll hold it for you. And then it sort of pulls it away again, and Charlie Brown is prone on his back. And he's a perpetual glutton for that kind of punishment. But anyway.
You know, they can just say, you know, presidential election uncertainty, and that's it. That's the end of the rate hike.
Well, I think it was even Citibank that's not really showing much uncertainty. They're saying 66% to Hillary Clinton likelihood that she'll be made president. So it's hardly looking, according
Depends
to official polls.
National Rifle Association, what are they called? The National
NRA. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Well, didn't the bookies, which the market was following, thought there was an 88% chance of UK voting Remain? So
yes, exactly.
So with three times as less certain.
Exactly. Mainstream media polls. Who knows what's going on there?
If you look at interest rate markets, quite interesting because markets, they've had a little flutter on the September rate decision. They think after it was Bob Dudley, I think, that you're referring to from the Fed, New York Fed, saying that, you know, September's still on the table. I think the market went from an 18% probability of a hike in September to a 22% probability. So, yeah, big deal. We could be back in the teens again very shortly. But that kind of explodes to 50+% in December and then flattens out again. So the market definitely seems to be taking the view that the US presidential elections is a problem and they're boxed in and they effectively won't be ready to pull the trigger in September and won't be able to pull the trigger in October, so they've got to go for December if they're going to go at all.
Yeah. In fact, this segment brings a bit of the dollar into it because we look at the GBP-USD effect on the FTSE 100. So the theme of this segment being a lot of people got in touch. In fact, Mike, as you're aware, some of the mainstream media's pundits are all interested in the fact that the RSI crossed the 70 mark for the first time in 3.5 years on the FTSE 100. So this caused a flurry of commentary. Are we now due an imminent crash? So this segment is to answer that question.
They asked you to talk about that, Mike.
They asked me if I knew of a fine technician who might give an expert opinion.
And so
I point them in the direction of Mr. Hunt.
Oh, well, that's fine.
So that's how that works.
I was just worried that, you know, that particular desire for knowledge might not have been fulfilled.
No, sorry, you're on a Muslim.
Thanks, Francis.
I filled the gap there.
Excellent, yes.
Yes, indeed. So let's have a look at the chart of the FTSE 100 and see what's happening. So this is the main event. 2013, you'll see there were two events, Q1 and Q2, where we poked up through this red line, the 70%. So we're looking at the RSI along the bottom of the chart there, for people not, and then we went down. And I'm not a huge fan of people who indicate trading, because I think, and I'll get into why it can be dangerous. But you can see now, just recently, we've popped through the 70% level on the RSI on the daily chart. So this has caused a flutter of interest, because whenever this happens, so the belief system goes, there's always an imminent sell-off that takes place. However, unfortunately, it's not quite like that. And of course, the RSI lags the price action. So let's have a look at the next slide and get a bit of context on all of this. What actually have we got? Well, we've got a potential inverted head and shoulders here. So the big sell-off from one of our inverted patterns in July and August gave us the low, or the left shoulder low, of August, September in 215. You may remember we were kind of expecting a sell-off in September, and it came early, round about now, when everyone was away from their desks, probably on a bit of light volume. Having crashed in September in 14, we crashed in August in 15.
That was China which triggered that, wasn't it?
China was the one in Jan, which gave us our head. That particularly was a big, big concern. So we started on China, where it was the beginning of this year. So that gave us our big depth. That wasn't to say there wasn't a Chinese element already in the starting to work its way into the news flow on the left shoulder, but it was very definitely deemed the main driver of the capitulation into January, February, which was our G8 moment. Then we rallied back up. You'll see that we have that neckline, the horizontal line that I've drawn, which is in and around the 6,300 level that we kept retreating back up to. And then we had our Brexit for our right shoulder. So these are the three main news events that have given us our dips. But despite the uncertainty of the Brexit, it wasn't able to run the low of the head, showing slightly more buoyancy. And in fact, after the Brexit, you can see we went very, very strongly up from a dip down. So it was rejected quite empirically, and we broke the neckline. And actually, we're about 65% of the way towards the 7,250-plus target, knocking on the door of 7.3 on the FTSE 100. So at a pattern level, that's what you should be considering as well, which conflicts with the RSI slightly. So moving on to the next chart, let's just see how RSIs have done. You'll note in the yellow, the very first yellow column, that actually the market traded quite a bit higher first before it gave another signal. So there were three blue boxes there where you crossed the red line, and only the third one kind of gave you a relative high with a substantial sell-off over there. There were also a couple of touches, which I put in a different color, the purple one with a brown line. But they weren't complete crosses, so those are not quite the full signal. But broadly speaking, you can't always assume that a RSI crossover means overbought, therefore an imminent crash. And this will highlight it even more, because we're going to go back to a monthly chart. So the next slide will take you monthly, and this will show you just the much bigger cycles. This is what I call the super macro. Also, once again, using the RSI. The very first cross of the RSI is in that orange box over there, and you can see where we were on the index. So all an RSI does is kind of saying we're not accelerating upwards at the same rate. That doesn't necessarily mean you're about to stop entirely, reverse, turn around, and accelerate downwards. All it means is you might have some respite before going up at a more considered rate. And you can see we had six different signals on your RSI during the 2005, 6, and 7 period, with only the sixth actually being the one where we caught the capitulation of 2007-08. So calling tops on an RSI signal standalone on one time frame is a very, very looking through the keyhole view and trying to paint the whole room type approach. You need to do multi-time frame analysis. An indicator that is lagging cannot be taken on its own. You must look at it across time frames. You must also look at what patterns are currently in play and performing. And this is why I largely take indicators away from people, because they think that's it. You know, the God signal has now been come in and becomes a belief system. And in technical analysis, there's a degree of dogma. Yeah, we develop dogma around it entirely. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you look where we are now, we're only just really crossing the halfway mark and showing the first period of quite impulsive move up in the RSI that could take us some way up higher before we cross the red line on a monthly basis. So once again, caution, caution. And the RSI is probably the most popular technical analysis indicator used by technicians, and I'm hoping those six signals, with the first five being bad. And just to put it in highlight, that very first signal came sub 5,500. The sixth one came at about 6,900. So imagine holding short from 5,500 for the better part of 1,400 pips. You just wouldn't be able to
do
that.
You'd have been taken out long before.
Many times over. So you could have, the timing is in essence, and you could have been calling short from 05 for what was later to be the 08 crash. That's the better part of 2.5 years, 3 years being wrong.
Right, we're just out of time now, but we just to go through the
final chart. Is this is the dollar. So this is what the FTSE looks like based in US dollars. So the currency effect of the current strength, inverted commas, of the FTSE, when you look at what's gone on with the pound versus the dollar, that is actually not an exceedingly bullish chart, and there could be plenty scope for upside on that before you would argue this is overbought. And if I could have got an RSI on this, I would have, but it would have been near the bottom end of the scale. So there's your currency effect. A lot of it is masked in the currency. That last high was when we had 1.56. Now we're trading 1.29 on cable. And that's the key element. And I think that's us wrapped for the FTSE 100. So scope for upside. And the September Trading Metamorphosis course. Come and get in touch. Learn how to do multi-market analysis across time frames. Get a proper perspective, looking at the room through all the windows, not just the single keyhole. And slideshare.net to get the details for that.
It's always good to look through all the windows in the room, isn't it?
And a peep through the keyhole as well. You
before
know you want it.
Before you get arrested.
Yes. Francis Hunt, the market sniper, thank you very much for coming in today. We'll be back after the break.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.